for every transfer portal conversation, there's Max Olson from The Athletic. He joins us now on the Bud Light Hotline. Max, give us your just overall winner of the portal this offseason. No matter level, anything like that, just who has been the overall winner through the transfer portal this year in college football?
You know, that fight's still going on a little bit. I think, obviously, what USC's done has been impressive in terms of having to go out and address their needs right away. Lincoln Riley has really flipped that roster very, very quickly there, faster than most first-year coaches get to. And it's interesting to see him take a lot of guys from Pac-12 rosters, too, in doing so. But to me, honestly, I think it's Ole Miss. I think I've been a little bit more impressed by just the caliber of player that Ole Miss has been able to bring in. I think Lane embracing it as the portal king and making Oxford a really popular place to at least visit for these guys that are going the portal. And then once they get them in for a visit, have a chance to lock them up. Obviously the headliners are Jackson Dart and Zach Evans, but man, they brought in a lot of really good players and starter level players from the portal, and I'm excited to see how quickly that pays off for them.
What about the conversation that could ensue with Ole Miss if in fact Jackson Dart doesn't win the job? I mean, does that at all change your opinion on just how good that potential portal class is?
That's a good question. I mean, I suppose you can look at it and say if it makes Luke Altmyer better, then I guess that's a positive. But you know, that's a different deal now. Where you know, a lot of times when you look at the portal in years past, it's you know, you bring him in this grad transfer, you need him to be a guy, you need him to be a game changer for your program. But you know, Jackson Dart was just a true freshman last year. I mean, at least they can play the long game at Ole Miss with him, and you know, that's a player that's still, you know, in not taking his redshirt year, he's still got a lot of eligibility there. So I'm sure that we will see him sooner than later, you know, unless they go out and get Arch or something like that. I think that there's going to be a path to Jackson Dart making a huge impact at Ole Miss, but certainly the competition is far from over there.
We're visiting with Max Olson of The Athletic, talking transfer portal at Max_Olson. Follow him on Twitter. He's with us on the Bud Light Hotline. What about the other side of it, Max? Who is the big loser in the portal, as in has had the most or most important defections and hasn't really been able to make up for any of that or hasn't made up for much of it in the transfer portal this offseason?
Yeah, I think there's a few programs out there that have lost more than 20 scholarship players to the portal. I think Colorado is one that stands out. That's a roster where, man, really they're really premium players. All moved on. Their running back, Jerick Broussard, who was Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year in 2020. He's at Michigan State now. They had a couple players go to USC. A lot of defections there. I haven't seen them picked up a lot of players to improve. And that you know, there's going to be some of those. I mean, even at the G5 level, you've got some of these rosters like Wyoming or Hawaii that are really getting kind of picked apart here. And, man, you got to find some way to replace those players. And you wonder, when you talk to coaches at some of these programs that aren't, you know, vying for the top of the portal rankings, there's a legitimate concern out there that, man, we pride ourselves on evaluation development, but you don't want to become a feeder school for these bigger programs.
Have we noticed a net positive or negative on the portal yet on some of these programs? Like some schools obviously making the portal a massive priority at the expense of their high school recruiting. Have we seen that have a major effect on any of these schools just yet?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm sure that there are some people who are going to point to a certain team or two this season and say, wow, look at how the portal's paid off for them. I think last year, for everybody, that was kind of Michigan State. You saw what Mel Tucker was able to bring in, and just obviously Kenneth Walker being the big name, but a lot of key pieces to make your team, you know, really successful and get to the New Year's Six Bowl. So I'm curious to see. I'm sure there'll be a few that hit this year, but you know, long term, yeah, you're right. I mean, you look at a lot of programs right now, and especially those ones that just went through coaching changes. You know, like USC and Miami and LSU, they go out and they sign fewer high school players and kind of save half that class for the portal. And I think the more programs do that, the more you're going to have, you know, 5 to 10 kids per class that they probably should have got signed, but instead are still out there. Now, does that redistribute the talent a little bit in terms of maybe those kids are playing at the lower Power 5 or G5 schools, does that actually mean that a bunch of them end up at the junior college level and stuff like that? I think there's maybe some inefficiencies a little bit there that even the programs that aren't big on the portal can probably exploit and get slightly better players.
Visiting with Max Olson. He covers the transfer portal for The Athletic. Find his work at theathletic.com at Max_Olson. Find him on Twitter. So let's go to best available. Obviously, it's been busy. Most guys have decided where they're going to end up. But if you looked at the best few players that are still available that could be massive gets for almost any school, who's sitting there in the portal waiting to decide where they're going to end up next that could completely change a program or boost a team an extra win, 2-3 wins this upcoming season?
Yeah, totally. I mean, certainly number one, you'd say Jordan Addison, and that is going to be a fascinating recruiting process. Obviously, before it started, people kind of expected that this would, you know, be USC locking him up before he was even in the portal. But curious to see if he's willing to maybe extend this a little bit and see a few schools or if there's going to be some that pop into the mix here. I think there's very few players in this portal cycle where you'd say like there's really no buts with them. Like it's all positive. And I think he's one of them. Caleb Williams is one of them. There's always something with these guys. There's a reason why they end up in the portal. Jordan Addison, not really the case. It's just a guy who's looking to get paid a little more and maybe a little brighter, spotlight and stage for his final year of college football. And this is a guy that is going to be a game changer. I think after him, though, there's another wideout, Jalen Robinson from UCF. That this is a big SEC battle going on right now. Looks like Ole Miss and Tennessee are in the mix there. I don't think he's going to visit Georgia. He's also visited TCU, but really dynamic playmaker for TCU in 2020. Had an injury last year. Wasn't quite the same during the season as he dealt with that injury, but really talented. All conference wideout in 2020 for UCF. And Jermaine Lole, I'm in from Arizona State. That's another school that just lost a ton. Probably should have mentioned them earlier. Have they replaced what they lost? No, probably not. They probably got worse. But, Jermaine Lole is a guy that looked like he was going to be an all-conference caliber lineman in 20 in their shortened season. And he's going to go check out Florida, Oregon, Louisville, Texas Tech. He's got some visits coming up here. But that's a guy that, in terms of plugging in a senior defensive tackle, that's going to make you a lot better.
Have you noticed any positions that some coaches are prioritizing? Is it obviously quarterback? The portal, I've had coaches tell me for years, like the portal is basically for quarterbacks, but it feels like it's not quite as much anymore. So is there a position that maybe gets a little bit more, I guess, consideration coming out of the portal than some others?
Yeah, certainly. I think up front, it's a big deal. I mean, I think any offensive lineman that has starting experience that goes in the portal is probably going to pick up some pretty good offers because everybody, as much as you recruit, as well as you possibly can there, you feel like by the end of the summer and going into fall camp, most schools are like, yeah, we've got 7 or 8, maybe 9. I think everyone's always looking for a guy that, even if they can be your number 6 guy, you're still looking to add someone. So the offensive lineman, it's always a big deal, and those guys tend to do really well in the portal. And I think that's true probably as well for defensive linemen and edge players. I think you see a lot of defensive linemen, even guys that just haven't played very much, they're going to pick up a lot of offers because people are looking for bodies and they're looking for guys that if they have the right frame can develop. And so, yeah, certainly you want to add grad transfers and guys that can help you right away. But even young linemen that go in the portal and after 1 or 2 years of college, those guys are going to end up doing pretty well usually and getting some maybe better offers than they had in high school because there's just, there's always room for more of those guys.
Max, who's a guy that has landed somewhere that is not getting a lot of buzz? He went into the portal, came out at a different school that you feel like is really going to make an impact, really going to make a difference on that team and maybe could make a difference in that conference because of what that player is going to do that's just not getting a ton of buzz. You don't feel like it's getting enough chatter.
Yeah, I think Miami's done really well in the portal lately. They're certainly kind of going out and getting everybody they want to get. And there's quite a few guys in their class that I think you'd circle and say, that guy's going to make an impact. Akeem Mesidor, the defensive tackle from West Virginia went there. Really disruptive interior player who I think has got a chance to shine there. I think Brandon Joseph's a guy that he was kind of early in the portal cycle and it was kind of a short recruitment, but Notre Dame taking him away from Northwestern I think was a huge deal. That guy was a freshman All-American in 2020. Really, really talented safety. who I think can you know, slot right in there and help them replace Kyle Hamilton. A guy that people probably haven't heard of that was a big deal at the start of this portal cycle, and interested to see can it click for him right away, or will it take a couple of years, is Jared Verse. He's a defensive end, a really talented edge player from Albany who went in the portal and took a few visits, you know, went to places like Syracuse and Houston, not really realizing that he was going to end up being kind of one of the biggest names in the portal. Ends up at Florida State, and, you know, you saw what they did with Jermaine Johnson last year. They've got a pretty good reputation now in terms of their portal recruiting and development. I think Jared Verse is a guy. I don't know if he pops this year, but he's still got a few more years of eligibility. But, man, that's a guy that has the upside to be a really talented guy. You talk about those portal players that can maybe turn into first-rounders. I think he'd be one you'd circle.
When you look back at this year's class, you referenced those that have multiple years of experience, those with one. When you're going after and trying to recruit guys out of the portal, how much are the coaches putting stock into how many years of eligibility you have left?
Yeah, they should be. The smart ones are. I think that there's, you know, it's easy for fans to look at this and think of it like fantasy football and just, oh, let's go grab all these guys off waivers and, you know, see how it makes us better. But I think when you talk with coaches about their approach to it, you do have to actually look at your room and look at what do we really need, because sometimes, you know, there can be, like, for example, a wide receiver. I talked to a coach last year who, you know, he went out and got a transfer receiver, a grad transfer. He looked at it and said, you know, we just needed a one-year guy. You want to still give your guys, your younger players in your room, hope that they have a chance to develop and play. And I think that sometimes if you're just sort of going best available with how you recruit the portal, what's probably going to happen is guys are going to leave your room and transfer out because they see they're getting recruited over. And that's the case every year in college football. But I think you do need to be a little bit intentional and strategic in how you go about it. Otherwise, you're just going to have more attrition and then, you know, more need for the portal.
Max, great stuff, man. Always appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on. We'll do it again soon.
Hey, thanks so much.
Max Olson, at Max_Olson. Follow him on Twitter. Find his work at The Athletic. Covers the transfer portal. A lot to digest there. There's a lot of different guys going in, a lot of different guys coming out. He joined us in the Bud Light Hotline, carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.